beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with sincere hearts to confess our sins to God our Father and to plead in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord.
My brothers.
In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you.
All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord.
And all the families of the nations shall worship before you.
For kinship belongs to the Lord.
And he rules over the nations.
All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship.
Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust. Even the one who could not keep himself alive.
Prosperity shall serve him.
It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations.
They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn.
That he has done it.
Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 9th chapter. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the later time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nations. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, and on the day of Midian. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear.
Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after.
That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble.
He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy.
I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud.
Be gracious to me.
You have said, seek my face.
My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek.
Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help.
Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation.
I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord.
In the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord.
Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. As it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
The reading from the letters is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth, the first chapter. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree that there be no divisions among you, but that you be not united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is still quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each one of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Jesus Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I know not whether I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 4th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region of the shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics, and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation
grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Isaiah the prophet said, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined." And Matthew tells us that Jesus left Nazareth and went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali to fulfill what Isaiah had spoken. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so his earthly ministry begins. This is our text. At Christmas, we celebrate our Lord's coming to Bethlehem, but in the Epiphany season, we now find our Lord in a different place, up in Nazareth and now moving to beside the Sea of Galilee to the town of Capernaum. The region where Jesus locates himself is a region that has a lot of history in it. And so I want to take you back through a little bit of the history around Capernaum and the Sea of Galilee. This was a different time, but in the same place. Darkness covered the land. Thick darkness was over the people. Having served idols, God gave them into the hands of their enemies, as he had threatened to do. The people were living under harsh rule. They suffered oppression. At times, the situation was so bad, so dark, they had to escape into dens in the mountains, into caves, and into strongholds just to survive. Out of this darkness they were living in, out of this oppression they were feeling, out of their sin and their suffering, they cried for help, and the Lord heard their cry. He heard, and he called a man, saying, "Go in this might of yours and save Israel. Do I not send you?" And so this man went. He went to this region, to the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, near the Sea of Galilee. He went into the darkness with a small band of warriors against a much larger enemy force. He and his men encircled the enemy camp, in one hand holding a trumpet, and in the other, an empty jar hiding a torch. And at his signal, all 300 of them blew their trumpets, and they smashed their jars, and they held up their torches, and the light shined in the darkness. And the enemy was routed in panic. Isaiah reminds us of this victory. "For the yoke of his burden, and the staff for his shoulder, and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian." As on the day when Gideon, the judge, defeated the Midianites with trumpets and torches and won the victory over their kings Zeba and Zalmunna. For on that day, in that former time, through Gideon, the Lord rescued the northern tribes. He rescued Zebulun and Naphtali and the land of Galilee from their darkness. A picture of what was to come. A foreshadowing of what would be. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And now move forward in time, to the latter time, more than 1,000 years later, that same land had been trampled time and time again by the boots of tramping warriors in battle formation. Army after army had marched through, devastating the land, taking the people captive. Many of those armies had come from the north, sweeping along the way of the sea, first the Assyrians, then the Babylonians and the Persians and the Greeks, and now it was the Romans. Can you imagine? 1,000 years after Gideon had freed the people of this land, they are sitting again in deep darkness, and they are wondering, what has become of Isaiah's promise? Where was the great light for those who walk in darkness? When would it shine? And the Lord saw their darkness, the darkness of their sin and their suffering, the darkness of the daily grind that ended in death. And he remembered the promise, and he sent a man, born of woman, one greater than Gideon. He told him, "Go in this might and this majesty of yours and save Israel. Do I not send you?" And so Jesus came. Having heard that John the Baptist had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in this land, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, in the place of deep darkness and where the shadow of death was hovering, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. But this time, the one whom God sent came not to fight against flesh and blood. He did not gather an army around him with trumpets and with torches, but he himself came in his might and in his majesty and in his strength. And he came in the flesh to carry out his work of salvation. One man against a whole host. One man against the sin of the world and the suffering that the world experiences. One man against death itself. And our Lord came and he preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." A strange way to fight. No sword out to battle, no armies marching behind him, no shield to guard him, but simply this proclamation: "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And this is how our Lord does battle against the forces of sin, death, and the devil. He calls to repentance, and he proclaims that the kingdom, the light, the great light, is present in his own flesh and blood, in him. And we heard how our Lord, when he announced the coming of this kingdom, when he began proclaiming that he himself is the light, how he called others to follow him. He found Peter and Andrew by the Sea of Galilee, later James and John as well, and he said to them, "Follow me. Follow me." And you know what they did? They dropped everything and they followed him. They left their nets. James and John left their father. I can kind of imagine Zebedee stuttering after them, "Where are you guys going?" They're following Jesus. They have seen the light. They have seen the great light of God's new creation. They have seen the light that brings the life of God to men. And they knew too, we must walk in this light or die. We must follow this light or we will be lost in darkness forever. And so they do. And I don't have to remind you that Peter and Andrew and James and John, while they do leave everything to follow Jesus, they are not exactly perfect followers of Jesus from day one on. You know their struggles. You know the questions they have. You know the doubts that Peter expresses and Andrew and James and John as well, and the questions that the other disciples bring. You remember St. Thomas, who didn't believe that Jesus had really risen from the dead. So they follow him, but not perfect followers. Questioning, wondering, doubting, weakness. And our Lord goes on. He calls the disciples to follow him, to follow the light, follow his torch where he leads. And then he goes about the region, healing every disease and every affliction among the people. We're told that our Lord comes preaching and he comes healing. He comes proclaiming the kingdom of God, and he brings the kingdom of God in his own touch and his own flesh and through his own word. Here is the one who is going about the king's business. He is the king's messenger. He has the full authority of his Father in heaven to let the light shine and to push back the darkness of every sin and of every suffering and to bring God's light to their ravaged creation. And he does. Our Lord shines his light in the darkness. And John reminds us that the darkness did not receive the light. The darkness, in fact, tried to swallow up the light. Our Lord shined in the darkness, and Galilee received him, and the word went out. But as time went on, the shadows lengthened around him, until finally, on that Good Friday, the darkness covered the whole land. Can you imagine what the disciples went through then? "Follow me," Jesus had said, and they're staring at him hanging on the cross. And darkness is covering the land, and they're wondering what has happened to the light and the life that God promised. And the doubts creep in again, and in their weakness, they keep their distance or they wander away, and they think that God's promised light has come to nothing, and that darkness will rule the land again, maybe forever. But you know that it didn't. You know that the light shined again on Easter Sunday. Our Lord rose from the dead. This is why we picture, why we remember that Easter falls not only on the morning when the women came as the new light dawns over the world, but why we often picture the grave as having light shining forth from it, proclaiming the victory of the light over the darkness, of our Lord over sin and death and the devil. Dear friends, that is what our Lord has done. But more than that is the fact that this same Lord who came in the flesh then, who won the victory over darkness, who came to the land that was under the shadow of death, this is the one who comes to us today. The light shines among us. The light calls us. The light reaches out to us with his life and salvation that he might touch us and give to us what belongs to him. Is it dark where we live? Does darkness cover our land? There's no doubt about it. In my mind, and there should be no doubt about it in yours. All sorts of ways that we can see this darkness at work in our world. Read the headlines, watch the news, look into your own heart, and you see the blackness as well. Recognize the darkness that we see, not only of death, but of the sicknesses that so often afflict us and the diagnoses that change our lives. And then the darkness of conflicts and divisions, the darkness of relationships broken, sometimes within our own households, among our own families. There is certainly darkness in our land. Darkness around us and darkness within us. And this is why our Lord has come. This is why he brings his light here. Not because we are filled with light and life, but because he is filled with light and life, and he wants to push back the darkness in and among us. And so our Lord calls to us, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn from your sin. Put it away from you and seek the life that he brings." Our Lord calls us like he called Peter and Andrew, "Follow me." And I wonder, what are the things that we've been holding on to that we need to let go? What are the things we need to set down and leave behind as we follow the light? Our Lord brings the healing that is needed. And I know we have our illnesses and our sufferings and our struggles, our chronic problems and the acute ones. And it may not be the case that our Lord brings that perfect and full healing to us now and here. But we know. We know that he has come to heal us of our illnesses and our diseases. And we know that the day is coming when he will do it. He will raise us from the dead. Now, there are some objections you might have as we think of our Lord and the light that he brings. You might say, for instance, "Well, Pastor, it's great that Christ is the light, but you don't know the darkness in my life. You don't know just how dark it can be out in the world." I know, I've seen it. Perhaps I don't know, but I can promise you this: our Lord knew. He knew the darkness of your life, and he knows exactly how dark it can be in the world. Remember again his crucifixion. Arrested in the middle of the night, taken through trial after trial that is not fair and not just, falsely accused, liars get heard, and he remains silent. Oh, he knows the darkness. He knows it well. There's no question that he knows whatever darkness you've seen or you are struggling with or you are sitting in, it is not too great for him. Or another objection you might have, well, Pastor, it's great that Christ is the light, but the light is so little and the darkness is so great. And on the one hand, I agree. It is a little light, a light that was small enough to fit in a manger on Christmas. And yet that light has the full power and strength of God himself. That light is the very same light that in the beginning said, "Let there be light," and there was, over the entire universe and creation. And he is the one whose light will say in the end, "Let there be light again," and it will be light forever, and no darkness at all. And yes, the light may seem little as it comes to us as well. Why, the light shines to us through just a little bit of water and a little bit of bread and a little bit of wine. But don't look at simply what it looks like on the outside. Hear what our Lord says about its essence, its nature. "This is my body. This is my blood." Packed away in what looks so little is a light that is so great. Great enough to drive away the darkness, great enough to shine and burn within us, and to bring us to the light that never ends. St. Paul said that the cross was foolishness to the Gentiles. And so it is. But it is the salvation of God to those who believe. In the smallness of this light is the fullness of God's promises and the fullness of our salvation and the light that will never end, that no darkness has or can or will overcome. Dear brothers and sisters, I announce to you again today that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that the kingdom of heaven has come and is coming to you in the person of Jesus Christ, that you have the salvation that God won for you when he sent his Son into the flesh. And we have this salvation now to carry us through until that day when the light dawns in full and the new creation begins. Already here we experience spiritual life. Our sins are forgiven, and we have the life of Christ in us. What more could we want for this time? And so our Lord began his ministry in Galilee, in the region and land of darkness, and he has continued his ministry here, in the region and land of darkness where we live, but with a light that no darkness can overcome. Our Gideon has arisen, and he has battled the darkness, and he has defeated it, and he will come again in great glory. And Zeba and Zalmunna will be gone forever, and Midian's power will be broken for all eternity. This is the promise we have through Jesus Christ our Lord. In his name. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.
Thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. O Lord, my strength, I love you.
Lord God, because your light has dawned upon us, we trust your mercy to answer the prayers of your people with grace sufficient for all our needs. Lord of all nations, your Son became flesh to enlighten a world darkened by sin with his grace. Visit us with his gifts of forgiveness and life, that our way may be glorious with his salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty Lord, your Son's cross and crucifixion is folly to the world, but it is the source of repentance and forgiveness for all his elect. Preserve the preaching of the cross in our midst, that from this life-giving tree we would continue to receive your gifts to strengthen our faith. Sustain all missionaries and their families in body and soul, that through them Christ would be made known around the world. Especially we pray for Michael and Nancy Jane, and for Pastor John and Melinda and their children. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have called us to be united in the same mind and judgment in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preserve us from ungodly divisions and quarreling, from pettiness and grudges, from false teaching and dangerous teachers, and fix our eyes on the word of the cross. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Heavenly Father, you sent your Son as the Savior of the world, that all the families of the nations might worship you. Bless the families of this congregation with your grace and protection, that they might remember you in both joy and trouble, and worship before you forevermore. Grant your help and care to all mothers with child, including Laura and Kay. We thank you also for the great joy and blessing given to Carl and Karen in the birth of their granddaughter, Sadie Grace, and grant that she may grow up into the name she has been given. We ask also that you would sustain those who are lonely with Christian friendships. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, all kingship belongs to you. Rule over the nations for the good of your people, that we might live in peace. Lord, in your mercy. Holy God, your Son welcomed the sick, the afflicted, and those oppressed by demons, and healed them. Have mercy upon all whom we bring before you in prayer, especially Michelle, Cadence, Danny, and Camilla, Tommy and his family, Jen and her family, Earl, Judy, Alyssa and Amara, Marilyn, Robert and Ruth, John, Steve, Tiffany, Sherry, Ed, Alicia, Ted, Gwen, Anthony, Linda, Michelle, Stan, Luann, and Carol, as well as Stacy and the Bennett family and the Hubert family. Deliver all these and comfort them according to your gracious will. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, your kingdom is at hand wherever Jesus our King dwells. Bless those who receive your holy supper today, that they may rejoice that the King draws near with his body and blood for their salvation. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up.
give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. For what had been hidden from before the foundation of the world, you have made known to the nations in your Son. In him, being found in the substance of our mortal nature, you have manifested the fullness of your glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our psalm for today is Psalm 40. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. I'm waiting patiently for the Lord. He inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me up from the pit of destruction, out of the murky bog. and set my feet on a rock, making my steps secure. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise for our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not turn to be proud to those who go astray after a lie. You have multiplied, O Lord my God, your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. None can compare with you. I will proclaim and tell them, yet they are more than can be told. In sacrifice and offering you have not delighted, but you have given me an open ear. Burnt offering and sin offering you have not required. Then he said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have told the gladness, the news of deliverance in your great congregation. Behold, I have restrained my lips, as you know, O Lord. I have not hidden your deliverance within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and salvation. I have not concealed your steadfast love for your faithfulness from your great congregation. As for you, O Lord, you will not restrain your mercy from me. Your steadfast love and your faithfulness will ever preserve me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
The Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endures forever.
Let us pray. We thank you, all-powerful God, for refreshing us with this healing gift. And we pray, Father of mercy, by this holy food, make us strong in faith toward you and in deep love for each other, that through us, other beloved sinners may kneel to you and receive with grace and life in Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.